In the semi-serious, half-humorous manner of Super Size Me, Morgan Spurlock takes on an ambitious new project. If I've learned one thing from action movies, he says, it's that complex international situations are best solved by one man on a mission. So as he worries about the kind of world that will greet the arrival of his baby, Spurlock decides to go on a global search for the world's most wanted man. The result is called Where in the World is Osama Bin Laden? It opens in theaters tomorrow. If you'd like to talk with Morgan Spurlock about his quest, about his movies, or about the movie business, our number is 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. There's also a conversation underway on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Morgan Spurlock joins us now from our bureau in New York City, and nice to have you on Talk of the Nation today.
Thanks for having me.
Why did you think that U.S. foreign policy and the war on terror would lend themselves to your style of movie making?
Well, I think that, Lily Tomlin said it best, that we have to find humor in everything because through humor we find humanity. And I think that when you see this film, there's a tremendous amount of humanity that comes out of this movie.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that you try to do is talk to people in the various countries that you visit and, make them seem a little less foreign. We're going to play a clip from the movie now, and this is a conversation that you have with, as it turns out, an American student who happens to be in Egypt at the time.
Your average Egyptian is just struggling like your average American to make ends meet, to get a decent job, provide for his family, educate his kids. You just see him concerns all over.
Tariq is an Egyptian-American studying law at Al-Azhar University. He's a new dad and desperately wants the world's view of Islam to change for the sake of his young son.
We need to rectify this because Muslims are like over one-fifth of the world population. That's a lot of people. It's not like some like Polynesian island somewhere. There's a lot of people. And if, four-fifths of the world are scared of one-fifth, what kind of civilization or humanity are we going to have?
That Tariq's young son, and I guess we can't escape the parallel of his concern for his son and your concern about your new, about to arrive in the movie, baby.
Absolutely. One of the things we wanted to do was, when we got the idea for the film, it was, where is Osama? Why haven't we caught him? What kind of world created him? But the minute we found out about my wife being pregnant, the story and the focus shifted for me to what kind of world was I about to bring a child into? And so we wanted to make it a point to meet people who were in the same boat as me, people with kids, young fathers-to-be or already existing fathers. And this was one of the first countries where we spoke to a family. And from that point on, we really made it a point to seek the families out because the conversations, the realism, just the beauty that came out of these conversations was incredible.
And there are other moments. You speak with Palestinians and talking about the situation where, as you put it in the film, that one of the principal arguments Osama bin Laden has is the situation of the Palestinians. You also, however, visit a school in Sderot, the Israeli town that's so frequently rocketed from the Gaza Strip.
Yeah, one of the things we wanted to do was kind of, show what's happening. And you see the struggle in this film on both sides. You see what the Palestinians face and having to live in their territories that have been walled in, and it makes it very difficult for them to move around. And then you go to Tel Aviv, where they have 12 to 18 bomb threats a day within this city. And then we go to the town of Sderot, where bombs are falling, Qassam rockets from the Gaza Strip every single day. And, I mean, it's disheartening to see.
Let's get some callers in on this conversation. 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. And we'll begin with Paul. Paul calling us from Utah.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul.
My question was, what were the reactions you got across the globe from your questions on your quest?
Sure. Everywhere we went, we would ask people about Osama bin Laden, ask them what their thoughts were about the United States. And, I got to tell you, before I left, I had a lot of preconceived notions that it was going to be a lot harder to get people to open up to talk to us, that we would be met with a lot more resistance. And that just really wasn't the case. I mean, people were so eager to sit down, share their thoughts, share their feelings. And overwhelmingly, the feedback we got were, we love what America stands for. We love the American people. They were very upset with American foreign policy and the current government. And that was the majority of the people we spoke to. I mean, it was pretty much across the board.
Yeah, you talked to several people who say Americans are the cause of all the trouble in the world, that George W. Bush is trying to eradicate Islam.
Yeah, and this is one of the biggest things that I think also comes out of the movie is, there's two things here. There's the war on terror, which, you know, we haven't had an attack on U.S. soil post 9/11, which is a great thing. The president's job is to protect the people. That's very positive. But outside of that, you know, in the international spectrum, we've really lost the PR war on terror. People now see the United States not as a beacon of hope and democracy, but as an aggressor, as somebody who wants to dominate their country, dominate the region, wants to eradicate Islam. And, you know, whoever the next person is that gets elected, I mean, I think that one of the goals should be to really focus on our foreign policy so that that view changes.
Well, thank you for your answer.
And
thank you.
Thanks for the call, Paul. One of the things I wanted to ask you, though, is the manner of the movie. I mean, it's one thing for Americans to watch you mock, for example, in Super Size Me, fast food companies with which we're, of course, very familiar, which are products of our culture for the most part. Right. There's a clip at the beginning of the movie where you go through a, you know, quick capsule of American foreign policy and its attraction to supporting dictators around the world, among them, as you point out, Saddam Hussein.
Yeah,
that's when we made friends with Saddam Hussein over in Iraq. Now, he was an SOB, too. But for 10 years while he was fighting the Iranians, he was our SOB. In fact, by the mid-80s, we had sons of bitches all the way from Latin America to the Middle East. But hey, pimping freedom ain't easy.
Shake what your uncle gave you.
And I can understand the difficulties of making American foreign policy entertaining. Nevertheless, at the end of that clip, there's a cartoon of Lady Liberty, the Statue of Liberty, acting as a prostitute. Some people are not going to be happy about that.
Well, you know, she was just, as the song says, shaking what her uncle gave her. You know, we're trying to make some real difficult stuff to talk about and difficult stuff to understand a little more accessible. And, I mean, if you don't laugh, then you'll cry at some of the stuff that we have in this movie.
Well, some people are going to be offended.
Well, you know, I think that if they're offended, at least what we can start to do is open up the door to a discussion and actually talk about things rather than just continuing to shuffle things under the rug. I think we've become apathetic and complacent for so long that we really need to start looking at what's happening.
All right. Let's see if we can get another caller on the line. And this is Kate. Kate calling us from Fort Lauderdale in Florida.
Hi, Neil. Thank you for taking my call. I think that's so interesting. Our recent fourth grade class just watched Super Size Me at one of our Montessori schools here, which has a curriculum of peace. And they thought that that was one of the best movies they had ever seen, which I found so surprising. So I wanted to know what Mr. Spurlock thought his new movie was going to do to promote peace in the minds of youth.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, for me, I think one thing the film really does well is I think in the United States, we kind of get one monolithic version of what Islam is and what we see overseas. And, you know, and that really is dominated by the people who we hate America, death to you, destroy the country. And that really is the lion's share of the coverage that we get. I think what the film does a fantastic job of demonstrating is a portrait of people in the Middle East who are really, I think, the antithesis of that viewpoint. And that these people who scream very loudly exist. Of course, they're out there, but they are an overwhelming minority of the people who don't look at America or look at the world in that way.
And it should be pointed out, you do talk to some of these people who feel that way in visits to Saudi Arabia and other places.
Yeah, we talk to some people who are, believe me, not big fans of America at all. But, you know, we try and show that, you know, that within these people there are, you know, people with much cooler heads. And I'm a big believer that cooler heads do prevail.
And there are a couple of examples in the film where clearly you're not welcome. In one place, I take it, it's Jerusalem.
Yeah, we were shooting in, we walked into the ultra-Orthodox area of Mia Sharim in Jerusalem and started trying to ask some questions, political questions. And this is already a very, you know, closed society and not open to outsiders and also, you know, especially the media. So we walk in there with our camera and are met with a tremendous amount of resistance. But the best thing that comes out of that scene is there's a guy who comes up to me. You know, there's a group of people who become very aggressive and very confrontational. And one guy makes it a point to come up to me and say, listen, you know, he's very concerned about how I'm perceiving the situation. And he says, most of us here, the majority of us, don't think like them. You know, he was so worried about how I was going to take, you know, this community. And I think there's a fantastic parallel to that in the rest of the people we see throughout the movie.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kate.
And so as the mother of a 7- and 8-year-old and you becoming a new father, what is your perception of this very daunting conundrum that we face?
Well, I mean, I think the thing that's really – what really hit home with me was this and I think there's an Islamist in the film that we speak to named Nadia Yassin, who when we interview her, she says something I think is very smart and eloquent, which is we need to reach beyond our political you know, our political leaders. We need to reach beyond political lines and start to build bridges between civilian societies, between people. And so the thing for me as a father, I mean, what I really realized is how much of a necessity it is to kind of educate my son, expose him to as many cultures and people as possible, both within and outside of the United States. You know, we live in a country where 25% of the country has a passport and even thinks about traveling abroad. And, you know, I think we really need to, you know, realize and understand that this is a global community, and especially now through the internet, we have the ability to communicate with people all over the world, to interact with them, to, you know, see that we're real people and have that conversation.
Well, I thank you for taking my call, and we just commend your work.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, Kate. There's a wonderful scene while you're in Israel where there's a bomb disposal robot that disposes yeah. of a suitcase, which, as it turns out, has not explosives in it, but a
Thank
bikini.
Goodness, yeah.
and there's a wonderful scene where you're walking back with the robot. Great job, kid. And the robot answers in sort of R2-D2 squeaks and whistles, which is quite funny. But I wonder, were there moments in the production of this where the attempt at humor and through that humanization, where it just fell flat?
Well, there's a great scene of that, which you see in Afghanistan. We go to Tora Bora, and which is the last place Osama bin Laden was. You know, we had the chance to get him. The last place he was really seen. And we're there, and we explore Tora Bora, look in the cave, see what's there. And then I go to speak to the governor of the province. And the governor of the province wants to turn Tora Bora into a giant vacation spot. He wants to turn it into an international tourism destination and with an amusement park and rides and, you know, a Ferris wheel and a roller coaster and a water park. And I said, well, that's great. You know, and you can say, Tora Bora, it's the bomb. And he looks at me and then he looks at me again. They explain it to him. And he says back, and he's like, but, you know, a bomb is not good. And I said, no, that's like slang. It means like it's a cool thing. He goes, but what is cool about a bomb? And so I was like, you know, forget it. You know, it's, you know, there are a lot of moments like that.
We're talking with Morgan Spurlock about his new movie, Where in the World is Osama bin Laden? It opens in theaters tomorrow. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's go next to Don. Don calling us from Craig in Virginia.
Hey, how you doing, Morgan?
Hey, Don, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I have two things to say.
Yes.
I'm a wrestling commentator.
I
do a program for a radio wrestling thing here in the area. Where
Fantastic.
I'm and I do want to confirm with Morgan that when the championship is on the line, it is always for real. It is not set up. it is always for real.
That is absolutely correct. That's what the guy – there's a great scene in the movie. What Don's talking about is in the film, you know, we travel throughout the Middle East, and the common denominator in the Middle East, where everywhere we are, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, everybody loves professional wrestling. It's amazing. And there's a great scene in Pakistan where I say to the guy, you know, he's got a T-shirt there, and I say to him, I said, oh my gosh, they even love wrestling in Pakistan. And the guy goes, everybody likes the wrestling. And I say, what do you like about it? What do you like? He goes, oh, because wrestling is fair. He goes, it's fair. And I go, can I let you in on a secret? It's fixed. He goes, maybe, but when it's for the belt, it's not fixed. And
exactly. I mean, yeah. It's always for real. And,
that's right.
Before I get off, I got a quick food item for you.
Yes, sir.
Check this out. The Monster Chili Cheese Dog Wrap. You take a sausage, you cut it in the middle, and you put a pink weenie in the middle. And then you get chili and cheese, and you wrap it up in a steak-em and hold it together with three slices of bacon. Stick that on the grill, and you've got some Atkins-approved awesome.
That's amazing. That should come with a defibrillator, too.
sounds heart-stoppingly good.
That's right. Well, thank you, Don.
Don, thanks for the call.
Thanks, Ben.
Your journey, your quest takes you from Egypt to Morocco to Israel to Pakistan to Afghanistan. So at the end of the day, do you find Osama bin Laden? Any luck?
You know, we tried. We wanted to, you know, but I did not come back with Osama or catch him. I didn't get the giant, you know, Ed McMahon prize patrol check that said $25 million. But we came awful close. I mean, we found out so much information along the way. And I think by the end, you know, when we get to the border at Peshawar and we're right there, just based on what people told us, I mean, I'd like to think we're probably within like 50 to 75 miles where everyone thought he was. So we got close.
Mm-hmm. And let me ask you a question about the character of your movies. And in a lot of ways, you are the character of your
movies. It's pretty much me. It's what you see is what you get. I'm pretty much a one-man band.
Uh-huh. And of course, you know, it sure worked in Supersize Me. Do you worry again that attacking a controversial and more controversial and more serious subject like foreign policy, that the kind of attitude may put some people off?
Well, I mean, I think that at the end of the day, you know, my mother raised me in a way. She said to be respectful for everyone. And I think when people see this, that, you know, they know that I'm coming into this with a sense of humor. And they know I'm trying to be gracious. And they know when I'm overseas, I'm being respectful to people. And I was incredibly respectful for them. And I think when you come into a situation with good intentions, you know, good things come out of that. So, I mean, I hope not.
And have you decided on your next project yet?
Well, my wife says I should make a film about how to make your wife really happy. So.
I'm afraid that might be a multi-parter.
That's right, exactly.
And so have you started work on that?
I've been trying to make it up to her ever since I got home, so I think I'm still going to be working on that one for years to come.
We should point out, in this movie, there are a lot of scenes of Morgan's very pregnant wife wondering why she decided to have a child with this man who is then going to run off gallivanting around the world looking for Osama bin Laden, of all things.
Yeah, worst husband ever. That's me.
Well, nevertheless, she was right. You were going to some dangerous places.
Incredibly, incredibly dangerous. And we were in very dangerous situations. I mean, we were embedded with the troops in Afghanistan. And these guys are heroes for what they do. They put their lives on the line every day. And here they are helping us try and navigate, you know, the southern portion of the country where it's very dangerous. And they're fighting the Taliban. And we're with them at one point when there's an ambush on the governor's convoy. And there's actually, you know, a Taliban ambush where they end up taking out one of the Taliban. And I mean, that's a hairy situation to be in.
Morgan Spurlock, thanks very much for being with us, and good luck with the film.
Thank you very much.
Morgan Spurlock with us from NPR's Bureau in New York City. He's the writer, director, producer, and star of Where in the World is Osama Bin Laden? The film opens in theaters nationwide tomorrow. You can see clips of it at npr.org/talk. Tomorrow, it's Science Friday, and Ira Flatow will be here. We'll see you again on Monday. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Where in the world is Osama Bin?
I'm gonna get you, Osama bin Laden.